So this is just a matrix form of that vibration absorber system we did last week. Okay. So we have a system. We have a system of two second-order differential equations. Okay. What we want to do with this instead is write it as a system of first-order differential equations. And we want to do that because pretty much every numerical solver on the planet, those in MATLAB, those in Python that we use, those in Mathematica,
25 paces.
The libraries you can find in C and Fortran, whatever language you want to get to, if you're going to solve this system of differential equations numerically, which is how we most often simulate system responses, they want first-order differential equations. Okay. So our goal is to take a system of n second-order differential equations, and what we're going to do basically is write it as a system of 2n first-order differential equations, is the objective. Okay. So to do that,
50 paces.
We're going to define what's called the state vector. Okay. This state vector, in pretty much every controls book on the planet, you'll see it as an x. Right? And that's going to control the states you're worried about. We're going to write it as a w. And I do that to help us keep it separate from these x's. Okay? So in our notes, when we're talking about it, you're going to see w's throughout. Just know that if you go take linear controls and graduate school, or maybe you get to some more advanced controls here in your time remaining, if you're around a little bit longer, you'll probably see it as a vector of x. Okay. Again, I'm just trying to keep separate from the x's of our actual coordinates describing the system. Okay. So we're going to describe that state vector. So w is a vector. And what I'm going to do, most common way you're going to see this split up, in particular,
100 paces.
From the controls perspective, is to take each one of your coordinates and write it. It's going to be one of the states of your system to describe your system and its velocity. So there's our state vector for this particular system. And like choosing generalized coordinates, we have the choice over what these are. This is a really common choice. This is how you're going to see it taught in textbooks. But, as we'll see hopefully a little bit later today, you can make choices here relative to what you're trying to do, actually. Okay. So I'm going to take this, and what I want to write, given this state vector, and I'm going to include the vector just to make sure we remember that it's a vector. I'm going to write matrix equations that look like that. That A matrix is called the state transition matrix. And what we'll see is that actually contains all the information we need about the system. When we do this, we can solve the eigenvalue, eigenvector problem for A and get the modes and the natural frequencies and mode shapes for the system. Most modern control methods, you guys probably only learned PID, right? That's from a long, long time ago. Right? Most modern control methods look for equations in this form and use A and B in the solution when figuring out what the gains and et cetera need to be. Okay. So I need to write, in this case then, if I'm writing W dot, let's write that out. Let's just write it as one big matrix to start out with, or some row vector, trying to figure out what it is. Okay. So x1 dot, if we're going to write that in terms of our states, well, we see that's just the second state. Right? Right? So if you think about what x1 dot is in this equation, well, it's just equal to w2. x1 dot is equal to x1 dot. Okay. X1 double dot, where do we get that from? Yeah, so okay, it's w2 dot, okay? But we know something about x1 dot based on our equation of motion, right? So we just look at our equation of motion and collect terms. We put this guy in a form that is x1 double dot equals whatever. See that? So really this second row is really just capturing the equation of motion information for that x1 term. Right? That's our first second order differential equation, which is all the terms collected x1 dot, x1 double dot equals. Everything shoved over to the right hand side. Well, x2 dot, well, we know that's w4. We just have that. Okay, so getting from our second order differential equation to the first one is not so hard. It's just picking off terms from our system. Okay? Well, let's do that. If we're going to write that A matrix, right? It's going to be 4 by 4. Okay? And it's going to multiply well, W2 is X1, so we know that's 0, 1, 0, 0. Okay. X1 is just 1 times X1. Okay. If we look at this equation of motion, we know that this guy has to be that. And the second term has to be those guys, oops, not there, wrong place, that's wrong place too, nope, that was in the right place, sorry, so we have x1 double dot equals, it's going to go over the other side, minus k1 plus k2 x1 divided by m1 times x1, right? And then we're going to have that becomes a plus divided by m1 times x2. Let me write that out another way for you guys. Either you're asleep or not following. So I'm going to assume you're just not following. There's the A matrix. Now we just have to include the forcing function. Excuse me. No, because this negative here goes to the other side. Okay. So we have that guy, A, So really, it's just rearranging these equations. You don't get any extra information, nothing really helping, except that, again, most differential, numerical differential equation solvers want these in first, system of first order differential equations. Okay. You guys follow that? So let's take this same system. We can choose instead what needs to change or what does change. If you have this answer, you should know that one right away. Yeah, just change the order. So we can just write that up and 0, 0. So the same information, just ordered a different way. Okay. What we'll see is where this particular form or the order of these can come in handy is if you're doing kind of analysis with A matrix, you can start blocking off. Like notice that this is kind of blocked off. Like there's kind of four zeros here and there. So I can look at these are kind of the flexible parts of the system. These are something else. Right, so it allows you to do some analysis there if you're doing a really analytical approach to analysis of the system, particularly from a controls perspective. Okay, and you can start looking for patterns. It's easier maybe to see patterns in this way, is right. So if I had n different masses, the equation started looking like this, I could solve for some simpler subsystem and just propagate out, perhaps. Okay, or automate extending it out to n different masses. Okay. Look at another simple example. So, write the state space form of the equation of motion for this system. Take a couple minutes and do it, and we'll check in. Okay, it looks like most of you have stopped writing. So, we can, I think you all could get here, hopefully, right? So if we set an orbit, a fixed frame at the pin, call that point O, we are in pure rotation about that. We can do Newton-Euler or Lagrange, equally easy in this point, in this case. We get to equation of motion that looks like this. Okay. How do I get this in the state space form? Which is kind of what I asked you guys to do. I have to define some states, show my state vector. And since we're 1 degree of freedom, I really kind of only have one choice that makes any sense. Okay. So let's maybe take our terms and look like this. Okay. How do I write that in matrix form, though? Well, I can write the first one pretty easy, the first part of that equation pretty easily if we're talking about the matrix form of it, right? Why do I write that second row, right? That's going to be theta double dot equals some kind of matrix math on the states. Can I do that with what I have here? No, I can't, right? So this state space form, that matrix form of the state space equations requires the equation of motion, those differential equations, to be linear. So we can linearize this assuming small angles. About theta equals zero. And now we have a linear equation of motion. I can write it in this matrix form, right? So to get into this the matrix form, of that state space formulation, I need linear differential equations. Okay. We can write a nonlinear kind of equivalent of this form that most numerical solvers will take. Okay. So we can write W dot as some function of time, the state vector, and a vector of my inputs. Right? And this can be row matrix or a row vector, right? It's going to be a vector. So basically in this case, we would have W2 So we can write a system, this is still a system of first order differential equations. They're now just first order nonlinear differential equations. Okay. And we really basically need to fall back to numerical solutions for this guy. We can get analytical solutions to some subset of these. Right. For these, we're pretty much stuck with numerical solutions. So if we're going to simulate a full nonlinear pendulum even, we have to go here, more or less. What changes about this if I have that guy? Right, so instead of that zero on the right hand side, right, now I have a tau there, mu squared, right? In this case, I end up with a B matrix now. And of course, in this case, it's part of that nonlinear case. Overall point is if you're going to simulate systems, if you're going to do any modern linear control stuff, modern control, even nonlinear control, we get into these first order differential equations. The other place this is going to come into effect for us is once we start having damping. Once we start having damping, our k minus omega squared m thing, we have to figure out how to incorporate damping into that in order to get natural frequencies and mode shapes. Right. Effectively, this is how we're going to do it. Because if we include C and try to solve that determinant and things like that, we end up with complex numbers instead. We can go into state space form. And again, this A matrix, if you formed it correctly, contains all the information of the entire system, including damping. So we're able to get natural frequencies and mode shapes for the entire system just by looking at this state transition matrix, solving the eigenvalue problem for it.